Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's get ready to rumble!
He's the fastest man on the planet. He'd have got there, rabbits.
Beers, beers and more beers. I can't wait. I cannot wait.
What about Andrew King? Put him in the second. Put him somewhere. He's too good for this game.
Yes, yes. Welcome back. We're here with the round 16 wrap-up. A week where, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, pretty much, if you owned three particular Manly players, and including one sneaky pod, you obviously had a fantastic week with a lot of green arrows. We'll touch on Manly later in this episode, but I think it's pretty clear who the three big winners were. And as I said, if you had them in your team, well done, considering Jason Saab was a bit of a pod move. Dally Cherry Evans as well. A lot of guys that sold clearly weren't overly sure on who to bring in for their halfback role. A lot of the people went with Jerome Hughes, who didn't set the world on fire in their 46-0 thrashing over the Sydney Roosters. Nico Hines top scored with 104. What happens with Nico Hines when Papp is back? Obviously, the Melbourne Storm have their bye round this week, and all reports are that Papp is going to come straight back into the fullback role, with Hines potentially maybe moving to the centres. I just don't see it. I hope he does, for owner's sakes, but I think Nico Hines is probably going back to the bench at best, unfortunately. Dale Finucane with back-to-back good scores over 90. The tries obviously help, but if you did pick him up as a sneaky pod move, well done. With no Harry Grant, that means the Cheese is playing big minutes at 9, and Finucane is playing, I guess, increased workload at 13. Not obviously the popular pick by far, but there was definitely some merit to picking Finucane. I know a couple of you guys have sent me DMs saying that you picked him up, and yeah, a fantastic buy with two 90s. Another 90 was from the Cheese himself, who is becoming a revelation at hooker with no Harry Grant. He's just becoming, I wouldn't say must-have, but definitely someone that's setting you apart from the rest. And if he does pick up a new club next year, with the amount of energy that he plays with, we saw him at the start of the year not really get fantastic scores. I think that was down to the fact that Brandon Smith being pretty open about his playing weight and how it fluctuates between 9 and 13. I think he came into the season preparing to play a bit of lock and probably didn't have the conditioning to play big minutes at hooker, and we saw his Supercoach scores suffer because of that. But now he's moved into the role a little bit more. We're seeing big, big output from the Cheese. Kenny Bromwich with an 86. A lot of people picked him up as a pod a couple of weeks ago. I think he bottomed out at around 350k. So if you picked up K-Brom, it's been some tough sailing, but he can provide when he gets his attacking stats. Cam Munster with an 83. Addo Carr with an 82. And Jerome Hughes, as we touched on, the man who, I guess, was the most popular pickup for Cleary, only delivered with a 49, and that was with a try as well. So not fantastic from Hughes, but on his worst day, if you say that he's going to get 49, I think owners will take that. Pretty well for the Roosters. 0 points. Don't expect too much here. Angus Crichton and Isaac Leo were the only guys to go over 50. I mean, Daniel Tupu, a guy that I've been banging on his drum for pretty much all season now, 49 in all base, which is, yeah, fantastic. If you're an owner of him, there's only upside to come when the Roosters do score some points. Tedesco, 45 only. Sam Walker, absolutely bone-rattled by Justin Olin with a 29. Another one of these guys people were looking at picking up for a Cleary replacement, but those two, along with Hughes, didn't particularly work out too well. But when the Roosters are only scoring 0 points, it's not too much there. Obviously, a thrashing of 46 points, Melbourne on top of the world flying. I think it's going to be very, very hard to stop them coming into September. The next game, the Warriors 18, the Dragons 19. I'm not too sure if this was a case of the Dragons beating the Warriors, but the Warriors beating themselves. Up 18-6 with very, very little time to go. Tad Townsend in a pretty good position. Went for the field goal when they're up by 8 points, I think, from memory, and obviously missed. And then the Dragons came back. Corey Norman had a chance to win it in regular time with a goal kick from the sideline, hit the upright, but then sealed it with a field goal, and then also lost his wallet at Paul Vaughan's house. Gonna wait and see what the big implications from the NRL are. There's been plenty of players fined $1,000, but I think the NRL might come down even harder on them than what the New South Wales Police Force did. The best hooker replacement, in my opinion, Ben Hunt with a 93. Fantastic from him. The party host est himself, Paul Vaughan, 84. Matt Dufty, 77. Blake Laurie, 71. Jared Beal, 70. And, yes, Mr. Corey Worthington himself, Corey Norman, with a 65. And Josh Kerr with a 61. And Tarek Sims also with a 60. Rounded out those guys who sort of scored over 60. I mean, Jack DeBellin in his first start, he pumped out a 58, which I guess is okay. And Josh McGuire coming back from suspension with a 53. For the Warriors, on the other hand, Eli Katoa with a 95, Wade Egan with a 77, Adam Fanua Blake playing big minutes with a 76, Bunty Afo with a 74, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck with a 73. Look, I'll touch on AFB pretty quickly. A lot of people would have brought him in and seen the Matt Lodge news. Obviously, Matt Lodge will be joining the Warriors effective immediately, as from this week, and a lot of people were worried with AFB's output. Did score pretty big this game, went to extra time, so he played a little bit of extended minutes, but still an okay output from AFB. I think you might see that decline a little bit with Lodge coming in, and a lot of people would have moved on to Payne Haas, who had a fantastic game this week, and we'll touch on him. But for the AFB thing, I think people don't stress too much if you see that he puts out a 76 and wonder that you should have kept the trade, because I think the output will go down. I've just realised my microphone levels have been very, very loud this episode, so I do apologise. Yeah, as for AFB, people have been sweating on the big score that he put out, but I think in hindsight, like, hindsight's a fantastic thing in Supercoach, but I think if you went with another option, I think that's okay. AFB will still average you, like, I don't know, 64, 65. But yeah, I think if you went with Payne Haas, it might be a better option long-term. The Panthers also getting this one done by 1 point against the Eels, 13-12. Mitch Moses with a kick after the game to win it for them. Unfortunately, didn't hit, and Penrith get the win without Cleary. And we see Jerome Luai suffer a 4-week, 4 to 5 week injury with his knee, which ruled him out of Origin, and I think Supercoach probably time to move him on. He's just not clicking. Didn't play well at 7, didn't play well at 6, so yeah, Jerome Luai, his stocks have just fallen off a cliff, and if a lot of people bought him at the sky-high price, like myself, it's just sort of all tumbled down. Yes, Apikoro Sal with 97, top scored for the Penrith Panthers. Isaiah Yeo with a 67, Viliami Kikau with a 67, Brian To'o with a 66, Tyron May with a 61. Rounds out the 60-plus scorers for Panthers. Someone I will touch on as well that has sort of fallen off a cliff, James Fisher-Harris. Now, from memory, Fish had a fantastic first stint, 35 points or thereabouts, and then, yeah, just doesn't seem to be playing big minutes in that second stint. So I think there's going to be other issues in people's teams to trade him out and whatnot. But, yeah, one of these guys that had so much potential in the front row position and sort of has fizzled out as well. Another guy with plenty of potential but has lived up to it, Isaiah Papali'i, with another fantastic score of 122. What a revelation he has been for people's front row forwards slash 2RF. He's been absolutely killing it. Very, very good Supercoach game. Very, very scorer-friendly. And when he does get a try, it excels his score through the roof. Another man that's been putting out some great scores, playing more of a ball player, which I didn't think he had in his game, but Nathan Brown has been killing it as well. Ryan Madison back to playing big minutes with a 70. Regan Campbell-Geller with a 63. Rounds out the top 60 for the Parramatta Eels. Mitch Moses, I'll touch on the Origin selection. People are up in arms and saying, what happens? Why didn't we pick Adam Reynolds? But look, the series is 2-0. What is the benefit of picking Adam Reynolds, a guy that is on the decline in his career? He's not getting any younger. You're going to need some cover for Nathan Cleary if he does go down. So I don't hate the Mitch Moses pick. Probably not the most popular pick in terms of the public, but I think he is the most sort of Nathan Cleary-esque player without being Nathan Cleary. Now, not saying that he is as good as Cleary, not by any stretch, but if you look at the game types, Moses is sort of an Aldi version of Cleary. I think he can do a job, an okay kicking game, doesn't control the game as well as Cleary, but for a second string halfback, I think that's still quite young, under Freddie, he'll develop a little bit, and I think New South Wales fans have nothing to fear. I just don't see this Queensland side really challenging them regardless. I think it's going to be a pretty comprehensive clean sweep. Speaking of comprehensive, 66-0, Manly defeating the Bulldogs in, as I said at the start of the show, if you owned Ruben Garrick, Jason Saab, and Trbojevic and played all three, you had a fantastic week. Ruben Garrick, 169. Jason Saab, 162. Tom Trbojevic, 144. The deadly trio of the two wingers and the fullbacks. Look, I didn't captain Trbojevic because, I put the VC on him. But my thinking was that they'll go up 30-0 at halftime, which is exactly what they did. Turbo would be on about 100. And And Desi would just hook him. Desi would just bring him off, give him a shower heading into another Origin game. But Desi played in the full 80. And look, I'm thankful that he didn't go bigger than what he did. Like, we got to think about the amount of bombs that he had, the Ben Trbojevic no try with the obstruction, the Hamwal Olakau'atu just basically ball hogged it and didn't give it to him. So there's another 30, 40 points that he could have had. And there was a forward pass to Ruben Garrick. There was another forward pass to Saab, I think, from memory. So, yeah, Turbo could have gone ballistic in this game. But 66 points, Garrick, Saab, Trbojevic do it all. Fantastic output from the three, though. Cherry Evans also with 119. Sipley with 100. Lachlan Croke with an 82. Carl Lawton with a 77. Hamwal Olakau'atu with a 63. Plethora of guys putting out big scores. But you would expect that in a side that's put up 66 points to zip. Only one man scored above 60. And you have to feel sorry for Josh Jackson. 63, but just plays with so much heart for this club. I think he's a lot better than the level that the side's at, but we know that how, I guess, not influential, but how much you link Josh Jackson to the Bulldogs, and there's a lot that needs to be done to fix this side, unfortunately. I think they're in a world of hurt, and the signings they've made, I don't think are really going to change too much for them. I think their forwards really lack winning the advantage, and it's all well and good to have, like, Josh Adokar, but if he's not going to get the ball, what's the point of paying him massive money each year? Yet another blowout. The Raiders 6, the Titans 44. The Jamal Fogarty show, 104 from him, 93 from AJ Brimson, 91 from Mo Fotuweka, 86 from Philip Sami, 82 from David Fifita, 76 from Kevin Proctor, 74 from Brian Kelly, 73 from Patrick Herbert. A lot of big scores in a side that looks really good with Fifita back in the side. When Fifita plays just straight and hard, that's when the Titans look their best. And they've got a couple of big ins back in. Corey Thompson obviously is going to help them on the wings with a bit of strike power. But the key man is David Fifita, obviously. I think when he is just playing direct footy, that's when the Titans are at their best. And hopefully after the Origin stretch, they can string some wins together and we can see the Titans make a big shake-up in the finals. For the Raiders, Josh Papali'i, with one of the best first stints I've ever seen in terms of Supercoach. I think he had 42 points in 26 minutes, something ridiculous. He was sort of the only forward to really put in much of an effort for them. Corey Hadawira Naira with a 61. Playing in the centres for the first sort of 20 minutes of the game, which was worrying, and the output wasn't there, but a 61, you'll scrape that. They were the only two that scored over 60 points for the Raiders. A Raiders side that for some reason, you keep putting so much faith in them to do well, but it just never delivers, and I don't know what's happened. Like, I think it shows how influential Charles Nicol Klukstad is for this side. Bailey Simonson has been a bit of a disaster pick that hasn't panned out, and I think that you have to just cut your losses on him and move on if you did put a lot of stock in him at fullback, unfortunately. The Knights, with Kalen Ponga back, another side that looks fantastic, 38-0. A common thread here, we had two close games on Friday, but a lot of them were separated by pretty big margins. The Knights, as I said, 38-0. Kalen Ponga back and starring for them with a 96. Connor Watson with 107. Dominic Young, obviously, you guys know how much stock I put in this kid. 88 from him. Jacob Saifidi with a 71. Mitchell Pearce with a 67. Jake Clifford with a 65. Kurt Mann with a 61. Rounds out the top 60 for those guys. Just a well-rounded performance from the Knights. And I think they'll be most happy with the fact that, not the fact that they scored 38 points, but the fact that they conceded zero. That's always a positive to take away from any footy side. Looking at these numbers from the Cowboys, Scott Drinkwater put up 70 points as a 5-8 in his side that scored 0 points. That's not too bad, actually. Kyle Felt with a 66. Jason Tamalolo with a 60. That's it for them, unfortunately. Not too much else to talk about. Lolo scoring a 60. I didn't really watch this game too hard, so I can't comment on his sort of output, whether it improved or if it was just bigger minutes. But yeah, the Cowboys, with no head coach this week, sort of no surprise, I struggled against a Knights side that had their full spine back and had some pretty key influential players. And key influential players was the key to this Broncos upset over the Sharks. Tessie New at fullback. I love Tessie New. I rate him extremely highly. You guys know that followed the page for a little bit that I had him in my Game 1 Queensland side. Yeah, at fullback, it's his best position and absolutely killed it. And fantastic to see 104 from him. Payne Haas with a 90. Katoni Staggs with a 64. He is the key man back, in my opinion. The game plan is pretty simple for the Broncos. Get the ball to Katoni Staggs ASAP and just watch him be destructive. It's what the Knights should be doing with Bradman Best when he was back in the side without Kalen Ponga. Just get the ball to your strike centre and have them just do what they do. They're so freakishly strong, so quick and so talented. Fantastic to see Katoni Staggs back playing footy. For the Sharks, there was a plethora of guys that scored over 60 points despite them on the receiving end of the loss. They were Aiden Tomlin with an 83, Connor Tracy with a 76, Will Kennedy with a 76, Sean Johnson with a 75, Britton Nakor with a 70, Sione Katoa with a 70, and Jesse Ramian with a 62. For the Sharks, it's not so much the lack of attacking threat. I think that it's putting up too many, like they're having too many points put up against them. I don't know where they sort of go from here. I hated the sacking of John Morris when it happened. I understand that you bring in Craig Fitzgibbon, but John Morris had runs on the board. And, yeah, look, I think they're building something nice, that they're getting a lot of good recruits through the door and getting rid of some of the deadwood. I still think there's some ways to go for the Sharks to be back up there competing as they were in 2016. And the last game of the round, the Tigers 22, the Rabbitohs 38. This one could have been a lot worse on the scoreboard than what it was. The Tigers clawed it back a little bit with a couple of late tries. But Adam Dewey with a 97, Jacob Little with a 69, Luciano Lua with a 64, Joe Offahengau with a 60. For the Rabbitohs, it was that left edge, killing it, Walker and Johnston pairing up. 107 for Alex Johnston, 99 for Cody Walker. But Campbell Graham also chimed in with 102 on the right-hand side. Cam Murray with an 86. Adam Reynolds with a 69. Tane Milne with a 66. Tom Burgess with a 62. Rounds out sort of the big scorers for them. As I said, this was a week that was dominated by Manly and the thrash they put on the Bulldogs. If you had any significant pieces of that Manly backline, you would have seen green arrows this week. Even myself, like, I didn't have a fantastic week at all. I had a below par score without captaining Turbo, and I still saw green arrows. So it just shows you that if you can nab a couple of one or two of those big guys, then you should be seeing a good score for you in the week. But that's going to round it out for us, guys, this week. As always, we are back tomorrow to recap the Teamless Tuesdays. It will be a little bit shorter episode because of the buys. And also the run home on Thursday. But hopefully you guys are having a fantastic season. We're winding down now, getting to the pointy end of the season for all your cash comps. Good luck in them. For all your overall guys that are still killing it, well done. And good luck. But for now, keep your friends close and keep your pods closer.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.